Hi guys, my name's Yasmin. I'm one of the lead pastors here at Centerset Church, brand new church plant in Silicon Valley. Hey, we're excited to meet you. If you're in the area, come check us out on Sundays, 11 a.m. at the Hotel Valencia in Santana Row.
Good morning. Who's excited to be in church today? Who had a great Thanksgiving? Come on, who's got some crazy family? You had an okay Thanksgiving. Come on, it's okay to be honest. It's my honor, honestly, to introduce you to these next four people, because these are our top four leaders. I'm going to begin from the left going right. This is Jonathan. Give him a round of applause. This is Ethan. This is Mari. Come on now. This is my beautiful, hot, very taken wife, Pastor Yasmin. I'm allowed to flirt. It's okay. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to begin, and these guys are going to just fire after fire, so get ready. There's going to be no transition in between. If you guys can bow your heads and close your eyes, I'll begin. God, thank you so much for your word, that Jesus, that you are alive and well, and you sent your son 2,000 years ago to die on a cross for our sins. And because of what he did, Jesus, we can have life in you. I pray for these four people, God, that you would fill them with your spirit this morning, that they would preach your word that's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And today we're going to leave here different. Just as the rain goes forth and comes back and produces crops, God, your word goes forth and always accomplishes the task that it was sent to do. That you're going to change lives today. You're going to change marriages today. You're going to give faith to people today, Jesus. I pray for every person in this room that they would hear the word of God and they would leave this room different by faith. And in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me? Yep, mic check. All right, hey, let's go ahead and clap it up, guys, one more time. Come on, Centerset. Yeah, come on. See, I'm overly excited today. I've been waiting for this moment actually for 7 long years. So you guys get to see it firsthand. Shout out to my bae, who's actually, she's taking pictures back there. Looking fly. 10 years. We've made it 10 years ago. So I just want to thank you, honey. You look fly today. See, fly meant fly, and now we're flying together, right? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So let's, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'm talking really fast. I only have 6 minutes, so I'm going to just spit some fire real quick and take care of business, amen? All right, let's get started. So by a show of hands, guys, who here has done a triathlon before? Come on, come on. Yeah, a couple of you. Great. Well, if you're one of those people that raised your hand, let me just tell everyone that they need prayer, like literally. Like they are cray cray. For those of you who haven't done a triathlon, let me tell you what a triathlon consists of. So basically, you have to swim. Then after you swim, you have to bike. And after you bike, you have to run. I mean, just saying that alone, I'm already tired just talking about that, right? But moment of confession, I'm one of those people who actually completed a triathlon. You see, that's me. Yeah, come on, clap it up. Thank you for clapping. That was actually on my note, so we're doing good so far. Amen? All right, cool. So that's actually me crossing the finish line back in April 15, 2015. As you can see, I'm not too happy, but that was me crossing the finish line. And my face looks like that for two reasons. Again, not because I'm crossing the finish line, but the first reason is that I actually, that's the moment I found out that I had done the wrong course. I got off track, and instead of doing a beginner's triathlon, I ended up doing an Olympic distance triathlon. Crazy. Crazy. So what ended up happening is I followed the wrong group of athletes in the wrong direction. And I mean, they look fit. I look fit. I mean, I can kind of see a six pack, you know, in that picture. But basically, I followed the wrong crowd and I ended up what should have taken me 3 hours. It took me 7 long, excruciating hours in the scorching heat. The second reason why my face looks like that is because truly at that moment, I was filled with gratitude because one of my training partners, his name is Michael, he had actually partnered up with me in the last portion of the race and wanted me to complete it. You see, what Michael did, he knew that I had already done the wrong distance, but he ran with me that last portion for two main reasons. The first reason is that he knew that I would probably pass out or he would have to literally carry me through the finish line. And then the second reason was because he knew that I needed that support. I needed that nurture. I needed him not to shove the mistake that I had made of doing the wrong distance in my face, but he would use it to catapult me into crossing that finish line. I'm getting like pumped, guys, because like literally this is like a highlight of my life. Like you're seeing it right now. So let me just kind of, in summary, guys, let me just ask you, just like I was that day, who finds yourself today off track this morning? Who has perhaps followed the wrong crowd? Who has perhaps, who finds themselves in a place off track this morning? And if you're kind of wondering, like, what does that even look like? I mean, I can give you a few examples. For example, if you're a Lakers fan and you truly know you're a Warriors fan, that's like way off track. That was for my boy Harry right here, big Lakers fan. Let me, okay, back on track. Let's get real here. Okay, Nick, and then perhaps, you know, being off track is like, where's your relationship at today? Where's your spiritual walk today? Where have you, at some point in your life, did you decide that, you know, the things of this world would satisfy you more than what Jesus would do for your life? You know, I truly believe that someone's here today, this morning, that is really, is willing to get back on track. Amen? I made that decision on June 26, 2011, 4:53 p.m. And what do I know that so clearly and so vividly? It's because truly, that moment, from that moment on, guys, my life changed dramatically. But you may ask, like, Jonathan, come on, bro. Like, that's just you. It's not me. That doesn't fit me. But I can actually, I have a scripture to share with you. It's Philippians 1:6. Read it with me on the screens. It says, be confident, say, be confident in this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, guys, there's already a promise inside of you, waiting to be executed, waiting to be just shot into a new destiny, a destiny that God has already predestined for you. But you may say, we're human. You may say, well, Jonathan, come on, bro. Again, this is not doing it for me. What isn't it for me, right? Because in this valley, we know that like any business you do, any transaction that you make, any investment that you make, you always say, well, what's in it for me? How am I benefiting out of this? If that's your question this morning, I'm going to drop some fire on you real quick. We're going to read Jeremiah 29:11. And this is basically a declaration over your lives. And I'm gonna ask you to read this with me, okay? So we're gonna read this right now. So it's, let's start. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Talk about getting on track. You see, guys, I know that you're the only ones that know the weight that being off track looks like. You're the only ones that know what carrying that burden and what that is doing to your soul and your spirit. See, here at Center Set, guys, our core mission is to go after those, to help those who are far from God, or to lead those who are far from God to know and follow Jesus. You see, wherever you are in your course, if you're off track, here's a group of people, guys, a tribe that wants to help you get back on track, that wants to do life with you. That's why we ask for those connect cards, guys. Why? Because, you know, we're down to go get coffee with you. We're down to just, you know, have a simple conversation. You know, we're meant to not create barriers, but remove them. Remove them. That's what we meet here at Santana Row. That's why I wear skinny jeans like Pastor Ali. Mine's are a little looser than his are, but still, they're skinny jeans. But that's what Center Set is all about, guys. If this is your first time, I encourage you. The biggest mishap that you can do is to leave here the same way you came. Let's get back on track. I'm going to pray for you really quick. And I really thank you for your time. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I just pray that the message that I have spoke over your people, Lord, not only has an impact in the present today, but also has an echo in the future. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the words that I have spoken just truly shake the lives of people and generations, Lord. You see, guys, I'm praying this prayer over you, but I'm also thinking of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Would you get back on track today? Would you let us help you get back on track? If that's you, let me just finalize with two words. Welcome home. Thank you.
You can't do that.
Can do.
Cannot. Stanton.
Can do. Double Stanton. No races.
Cannot.
Triple Stanton. No races.
Just do it.
You can't triple Stanton. Double Stanton. You can't triple Stanton. Double Stanton. You can't triple Stanton. Double Stanton. Bye. Bye.
How many of you thought you'd be watching Dumb and Dumber in church this morning? Only at Center Set. How many of you guys have played the game tag before? As a child, most likely. Maybe as an adult. If you. I love the game of tag, but I hated being it. And I was always it. I actually had this condition as a kid called Sievers disease in my heel. My growth plate literally didn't catch up to the rest of my body until like middle school. So I couldn't run without pain. I was also just generally slow and fat, as you can see by this picture. Yep. There's a kid who's always it right there. Okay, not that fat. But I mean, look at him though. But now, the thing about tag, the ultimate rule that you have to set, right when you start tag, you have to start the no touchbacks rule. You guys know what I'm talking about? Do you remember that? So what that is like literally, let's say I finally got that sweet triumph. I finally caught somebody with my little stubby legs. I finally get someone. I say, tag, you're it. And then I turn to run away, and bam, they hit me right back, right? And I go, dude, we said no touchbacks. And they're like, what? You didn't say no touchbacks. Nobody said no touchbacks. And it kind of looks like that Dumb and Dumber clip, right, for a little bit as we're arguing back and forth. But that rule is key because I wasn't fast enough to get away after I tagged somebody. So we're all adults now, and for the most part, we don't play tag anymore, unfortunately. But I feel like we still approach church, we still approach Christianity as if God has a no touchbacks rule. Allow me to explain. So working in ministry now, I hear a lot of people, usually when they're talking about their previous church, they'll say like, you know, the worship was good, the pastor preached a good message, but you know, I just didn't really get anything out of it. I just didn't really feel fed. And a lot of times that's valid, but here's the thing is we're only gonna get from church what we give. And I don't mean this financial giving. I mean time, I mean your talent. I mean literally intentionally thinking when I walk into this room, you've expectant faith that you're going to receive something from God. But don't just take my word for it. This is Mark chapter 5, verse 21, one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. This is about a woman with incredible faith. It says, when Jesus had again crossed in a boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came up, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He asked him urgently, my little daughter is near death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. Now a woman was there who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. So let me give you guys some context real quick. In Jewish culture back then, that's a huge deal. This woman was considered ritually unclean. So if she had a family, she would have had to divorce her husband, leave her kids. And they thought that anyone she touched also became unclean. So you can imagine how popular she was, right? Because no one wanted to be around her or else they could also become unclean. So this is a big deal to be living with this for 12 years. Let's keep reading. Verse 26. She had endured a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she kept saying, if only I could touch his clothes, I will be healed. At once the bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Jesus knew at once that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing up against you, and you say, who touched me? So the disciples are giving him a little bit of sass right there, because he's literally in a crowd of people. Right, so there's people all around him that are touching him. He's being jostled around. He's being touched by a lot of people, but something was different about this one, right? And here's one of my driving points I want to bring home, is that the disciples did not understand the difference between casual contact with Jesus and reaching out to him with intentional faith. Amen. Let me say it one more time. The disciples didn't understand the difference between casual contact, a casual encounter with Jesus, and reaching out to him in faith, right? Expecting something to happen. Verse 32, but he looked around to see who had done it. Then the woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Now, I know at this point there's a lot of people in the crowd that saw this woman get healed, and they're like, what the heck? I have like this gnarly rash on my side. I touched Jesus. It's still there. I didn't get healed, right? Because again, there's that difference between coming with faith and expecting something from Jesus than just coming for a casual encounter, right? So when we walk into this room, are we expecting God to move? Are we reaching out to God? Because if God does not play with the no touchbacks rules, if you reach out to touch God, he will touch you back every single time, more than you can imagine. So here's my practical step for you guys, my challenge. One thing that I'm a worship guy, obviously, so I'm going to bring it back to worship. When we're here together, one thing I love to do when I'm worshiping with other people is to just lift my hand, just like this, and for two reasons. A, it's a posture of surrender, and B, I love that it's a physical reminder to me that I am reaching out to God, right? I know that God can heal. I know that God will meet me, and he will touch back. He doesn't play with the no touchbacks rules, thank God. He will reach back to you. So next time we're worshiping together, that's my challenge for you guys. I know it's uncomfortable. I know you're thinking, oh, what do the people behind me think? That girl was pretty cute. What does she think behind me? Or guy. That guy was cute too. What do they think behind me? But that's my challenge for you guys, that practical next step, to remind yourself when you're doing this that I'm reaching out to God. Just like the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, I am reaching out to God expecting that he can heal me, that he can do something bigger than my imagination. Amen? Let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you so much that you reach back to us, Lord. God, I thank you that you are an available God, that you are with us, Lord, and that you will do the miraculous in this place, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Wow, those were great messages, guys. Wow. Show of hands, anyone here married today? Show of hands, don't be shy, okay, a few of you. Anyone out here single, wish they were married? No? Okay, one. All right. Okay, so last question. Anyone here married and wish they were single? Just kidding. Don't raise your hand. I've been married 4.5 years, together 6. My husband's name is Doggo, tall, dark, handsome guy who probably welcomed you in this morning. Yeah. We have a beautiful 4-year-old daughter named Mila. And, you know, I always heard people say that the first few years of marriage were the best. That was definitely not the case for my husband and I. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't that there was no love or a connection. That was all there. It was more so getting used to living together. Ladies, I know you could understand me, but when I say that, my husband wasn't putting things back where they belonged, okay? Well, I consider myself a passionate person when I speak. Some of you would say I'm a yeller. You would be wrong. I'm passionate. And during the first 3 years of marriage, I was especially passionate towards my husband when we disagreed. He would say I was being disrespectful. I would say I was being passionate. I never understood why he used the word disrespectful, right? I mean, that's just how I talked. That's how my family communicated. Anyone seen or heard of a show called Peppa Pig? No, teachers are, okay, all right. So some of you have. For those of you that haven't, it's just an animated show about a little piggy and her family and friends. Mila, our daughter, was obsessed with Peppa Pig. So when we heard that there was going to be a live show in Oakland, we, of course, had to take her. She was so excited with the surprise. It was a great time. After the show, we made our way to the car and headed home. As I was driving home, Doggo and I had a disagreement that blew up. Blew up to the point where I later regretted a lot of what I had said in that moment. As this argument was happening, I had an out-of-body experience. I saw an infuriated version of myself yelling at Doggo. I then saw Mila's face through the rearview mirror and how uncomfortable she looked. It broke my heart. I instantly remembered myself at her age, witnessing verbal abuse from my father to my mother, and what an anxious kid that made me. I also instantly realized I was repeating a cycle that I didn't know how to stop. I didn't want this for my family, but this is who I was. The following week, we came to church. Pastor Ali was preaching about the enemy's lies and how we've allowed the enemy to convince us that this is who we are and that we can't change. He continued to say we weren't born with bad habits or tendencies. We develop them and convince ourselves that this is who we are. I remember feeling lost, doubtful, even defeated in that moment. The enemy was working hard to keep me where I was. But then I felt God's presence through the Holy Spirit. In that moment, the Holy Spirit showed me my root problem. It was fear. It all clicked in my head. I was scared that my husband would eventually hurt me. I was scared that if I didn't voice my opinion in that moment, if I didn't make him understand why I was so upset, he would hurt me. I was scared to trust my husband. I was scared of repeating a cycle, not realizing I had already started that. I was scared of letting him love me. I chose to do the only thing I knew how to do, which was to protect myself, instead of allowing this good man, my husband, who had proved to me time and time again his good character, to fully love me. In that moment of revelation, I surrendered myself to God. I know it sounds cheesy, but surrender is powerful. In that moment, when you're desperate for God, as I was, and you call on his name, he shows up. I told him this is not the life I want for my husband, for my child, or for myself. I then felt a peace that surpasses understanding in that moment. I felt God overflow my heart with his love, and he let me know not to be afraid. My father told me I could change because he didn't make me this way and he did not see me this way. We've all lived with some kind of fear, right? Fear of getting hurt, fear of failing, fear of expectations not being met, fear of rejection, fear of loving. But you see, God doesn't want us to believe the lies of the enemy and to live in fear. Read this verse with me. Isaiah 41:10 on the screen. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. You see, this is both a command and a promise. Israel is commanded not to be afraid. And at the same time, a promise is given. I am with you. Everyone experiences fear. Fear of a new job. Fear of starting a new business. Fear of asking a girl out. Fear of getting up on stage and sharing your God experiences. God knows this fact, which is why fear not is the most common command in all of the Bible. 150 times God says, don't be afraid. This is so much more than a simple command, though. It's also a promise. But repeatedly, God repeatedly has to remind us because he knows how prone we are to being afraid. How many of you are grateful for a God who helps us in our fear? I know I am. I wonder, what are you afraid of? What is consuming your time, your energy, your thoughts? What is keeping you up at night? What is robbing you of your joy? What painful future are you seeking to avoid? Fear is what happens when it seems like something in our life is beginning to change negatively. What is the answer to fear? Almost every time that God tells us to fear not in the Bible, God then says something like, "For I am with you." Therefore, the answer to our fear is the faith in God's presence. Faith that no matter the storm, no matter the pain, no matter the obstacle, you are not alone. God is with you. I want to encourage some of you today. If there was hope for me, there is hope for you. Whether it's your health, your finances, your marriage, your friendships, your safety, if God was there for me in my fear, he will be there for you in yours. I need you all to understand what a good God we have. He wants to break generational chains. He wants to replace bondage with oxygen. He wants us to live a fulfilled life without fears because we have him. He will help us. He will uphold us in his saving right hand. That's not just a command, that's a promise. Let's let go and let God today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being such a good dad, for always keeping your promises. I pray for every single person in this room and their loved ones, Lord. I proclaim it in your name, God, that as of today, we are no longer a slave to fear. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Yeah. Woo, woo, woo.
Can we give it up for the preachers? They all brought a word. All right, well, I'm Pastor Yasmin. I'm back. All right, I've been out the past 4 weeks. I don't know if you know, I did a minor thing. I gave birth to our second daughter. Her name is Zoe Noelle. She's out here somewhere probably sipping on espresso because we had a long night last night. Any moms, team no sleep, team mom brain, I'm with you. Thankful for my husband who did a wonderful job doing this recovery. I'm still not done. So, he's been preaching this whole year and using examples of our life when we started dating and how I was in the friend zone and desperately wanted to be in the Bay Zone. Ain't that right? Well, I'm so happy to be here with you and see all your beautiful faces. I'm so glad to be here and not be pregnant anymore because I could preach and bring the word today. And let me tell you, I'm going to set the record straight today. This guy right here, he couldn't wait to be my boyfriend. Wait, no, because he would use examples of our everyday life, okay? But we were dating and inside jokes and everything that we had with us and our close friends to flirt with me during his sermons on Sundays. Can I get a witness from the people that were present? Amen. Thank you so much. We can begin. I got a word, man. I got a word for y'all, okay? And I got my notes here and everything. So back when we were dating, we used to hang out at my parents' house a lot because we wanted to remain pure. And who else knows that the best way to remain pure is to kick it with your in-laws or your folks, right? Anybody with me? So one night we were chilling at my parents' house upstairs and all of a sudden I hear random kitty sounds. So I go to my window and oh, there's a litter of kitties, right? So right then and there, I'm like, we gotta rescue them. We have to rescue them. So long story short, I get bait and trap and I'm out to rescue these kittens. So on the first night, guys, I caught 3 kittens in the trap. I was so excited about the process. I'm like ready to start a pet store, everything, right? On the fourth night though, there was this one kitten, this little black kitten that would not get in the trap. And I would like ask Ali, I'm like, can we just take the little black kitten? He's really cute. No, because he thinks kittens are from the devil and I don't agree. But whatever, long story short, on the fourth night, I all of a sudden get woken up by like random sounds from the trap. I go to my window, I look down, I see there's a demonic animal about to enter the trap. And I see the kitten just staring at the demonic animal. And I'm like, dude. So I start making sounds, trying to get its attention. And lo and behold, the thing doesn't even budge. He just goes straight into the trap, trap door comes down. The possum is eating the food. Right? So the possum's eating the food. I'm just staring at it. Kitty staring at it, like about to get some popcorn. I'm imagining like a Disney musical. There's animals coming in and out everywhere, you know, watching this possum and everything. Possum finishes the food, turns around to get out of the cage, realizes I'm caught in a trap. And I'm like, yeah, sucker, you are. I tried to get your attention, but you didn't budge. And now you're in the trap. So I try again. Meanwhile, the kitten that I wanted to get is still chilling. And so this guy's trying to get out of the trap. He's rattling the trap. And I'm like, dude, I go like, and he looks up at me and I'm not even joking. It was the devil himself looking up into my soul. I'm getting ready to get some anointing oil, go downstairs, you know, exercise some demons. But what happens next is the best. The next night, I put the trap out again. I'm like, all right, this is it. Last night, because I have to give the trap back too to the pet store. So I'm like, okay, whatever. The kitten comes out, looks at the bait in the trap, and walks away. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy does not want to get caught in the trap. And just like the demonic possum got caught in the trap, that's what the enemy's trying to do with us every day. He's trying to trap you in his traps every day. He's trying to get you caught up in the traps that he has, right? And I mean, like, think about it. It's so easy for us to get caught up in traps. Do you guys know what the number one topic is outside of people finding themselves that people always ask us? It's about relationships. How do I get out of my marriage? Why did he cheat on me? You know, where am I gonna find someone to get married? Church would be a place. You're welcome. But no, seriously, do you wanna know why that is? Because we suck at navigating relationships. I mean, just think about it. Nowadays, especially, people get offended so quick. You can't look at somebody some type of way without them like, what? Girl, bye. They get offended so quickly, right? I mean, no, seriously, like, just think about, like, and even with social media nowadays and emojis, I can't even tell you. Can we just stop for a second and talk about emojis? Just because I don't text you back with 27,000 emojis in my text does not mean I don't like you, right? Or what about when people post on social media and you don't get a like? Right away, you get offended. Or what about somebody just unfollows you on social media? Oh no, the world is ending. You know what I'm saying? Or let's not even go that far. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, you're running late to work and you're an 87 and someone cuts you off and you just cuss them out or punch them in the throat a few times and you got offended, right? No, let's be real, because we get offended so much. I feel like 2018 was like the year of offense. Anytime you turn on the TV, everybody's so sensitive about something. It's like the Kanye song playing in my head, like, ooh, they so sensitive, right? Kanye pre-Kardashian, by the way. I can't vouch for him after that. But no, honestly, right? What about at work? You turned in a project and you were like, yeah, this is it, but you didn't feel appreciated by your coworkers? Or your boss looked at your project and he didn't even acknowledge it and now you feel overlooked? And you just don't feel appreciated? Or what about the party they just had? Your friends threw a party and somehow your invite got lost in the mail. Or there was a dinner that you were not invited to and you got offended. Girls do this all the time. I didn't know you had a baby. You didn't tell me. I'm offended. I didn't know you got engaged. You didn't tell me. You posted on social media. I'm offended. Like, are you serious? Like, everybody's so sensitive nowadays, right? And see, the reason why this subject is so popular, relationships, it's not only because we suck at navigating them, it's because the enemy is constantly trying to attack relationships. Did you know that if he can divide you between people and he can get you alone, that's when the enemy does his best work? He comes to steal your joy, kill your purpose, and destroy your life. Did you know that? And Jesus talks about that. Jesus talks about that in Matthew 24. He's talking about the last days, and he's telling us what's going to happen in the last days and how, what signs to look for and whatnot. And in Matthew 24:10, it says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And what Jesus is actually saying in this verse is that right before he comes back, he's basically saying, right before I come back, a lot of people will be easily offended with one another. And I don't have to sell it to you, but just look at 2018 and how easily people have been getting offended every day. But what's most interesting to me about this verse is the word offended. See, the word offended in Greek means scandalon. And you know what scandalon means in Greek? It means trap. Da-na-na-na-na. We're getting somewhere, right? Come on. But I don't want to pretend like I'm over here and I'm just preaching to you. I get offended. We all get offended. I don't care where you come from, who your daddy is, how much money you got in the bank. There is something inside of you that is bound to get offended when the right buttons are pushed, right? I mean, you're so quick to clap back, and right now you're like, wait, what? But seriously, we all get offended. And you want to know what happens when I get offended or when any of us gets offended? We get in prison. We get caught in this trap, and all of a sudden I'm in prison by my feelings. I'm imprisoned by my emotions. I'm imprisoned by how I think you should have treated me. You should have said hi to me when I walked down the church, right? You should have said hello. You should have invited me to that dinner. And now all of a sudden, I'm stuck in that trap, right? And then what happens when I'm in prison? I think that by ignoring you, by cutting you out of my life, by not talking to you, by just shoving you aside, I think that I'm actually punishing you and I'm paying you back. But what I'm really doing is growing my world smaller and smaller, and my trap is getting bigger, right? You ever feel like that? Like, being in ministry for so long, I feel like this is the norm. I meet brothers who haven't talked to each other in years, or moms who don't talk to their daughters, or friends who used to be best of friends now don't talk with one another, right? And it feels like just people cut people out of their lives because they're offended and trapped. And I don't want to make light of your wound or your abuse or your hurt, because if you're here with that, that's a real thing. But let me tell you, the enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So your bait and your trap is going to look different for everyone else. He knows what kind of bait to entice you with. He doesn't just use the mouse trap. See, I can look at that trap, that kitty trap that I saw downstairs. It didn't affect me at all. I knew that it wasn't for me. But see, when the enemy comes for me, he comes with things that would offend me, that come to attack me, to trap me. And in the same way the kitty looked at the trap and didn't get into it, the possum did, right? And what's funny to me and what's amazing with every story of offense is that everyone else around you can see your trap but you. And that's why, guys, that's why we need people in our lives. That's why the enemy is trying to attack relationships, because he doesn't want you to hear the truth. That's why we need people in our lives to tell us whose we are, to tell us that we're on a mission, to tell us that we're called, to tell us that our life is worth so much more than that gossip. Our life is worth so much more than that payback. Our life is worth so much more than that very offense that's got you stuck in that trap. Right? That's why we believe in life groups here. That's why we believe in community that's intentional, that's transparent, and that's challenging. Right? Because we need people in our lives to tell us, hey man, you're hurt. Hey man, you got offended. And you can justify your hurt, you can justify your wound all day long, but this is the question that I want you to ask yourself today. Do I want to be justified, or do I want to be free? Because I want to be free. I'm not waiting on your wound. I'm not waiting on your offense. I'm trying to walk in the freedom that God has set for me, right? And so let me tell you this. This is the thing that I realized when I looked at the kitten. A trap is only a trap if you don't know it's a trap. A trap stops being a trap the moment you realize that it's a trap. It then becomes a challenge. Here's the challenge that I got for you today. No matter how small the offense, let it go. Deal with it immediately. Forgive. Because you ever been invited to a dinner or a friend's party and the one person you're offended by is there? And you're like, oh my gosh. And you go way out of your way to pretend they're not there. You do everything possible to not even look at them. You're so angry with them. That didn't start overnight. That didn't happen overnight. See, what happens is you didn't deal with your offense. And if you don't deal with your offense, it turns into anger. When you don't deal with your anger, it turns into resentment. When you don't deal with your resentment, resentment turns into bitterness. And when you don't deal with the bitterness, bitterness turns into unforgiveness. Unforgiveness gives way to hate. And there's just no way to get around that. That's just what happens. And can I tell you, now you've become a child of God, you're claiming the love of Jesus, but you're harboring hate and unforgiveness in your heart. And by the way, when you're in this state of unforgiveness, God says he won't even accept or receive our prayers and tithes. So why? How did we get here? How did we get to this place of hate? You didn't deal with it. And when I tell people that, when I tell people, well, you got to learn to forgive immediately. It's a process. You got to learn it. People always push back. Like, what? You want me to forgive? The fool ain't even apologize. Like, you want me to forgive? She's going to gossip again. You want me to forgive? He's constantly doing this. And I'm going to tell you, the reason why you say that is because you don't have a revelation on forgiveness yet. You think that forgiveness is about justice. Forgiveness is about freedom. I'm going to say it again. You think forgiveness is about justice, about paying them back by ignoring them, about paying them back by cutting people out of your life. It's about you, man. You're getting free. Does that make sense, guys? So when you harbor offense, you're the one that's trapped. And let me tell you something. This morning, don't give the devil a foothold into your relational life by allowing the enemy to trap you in offense. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. Don't give the devil a foothold into your relational life by allowing him to trap you in an offense. Because then you're imprisoned. You're the one. You want to know what it looks like? I don't know if you guys heard, but we have this vision, 1x3x5. You want to know what it looks like to have 3 campuses in 5 different places in 5 years? It looks like people living a life that's radical. It looks like the old has gone and the new has come. Do you know the Bible talks about that if you're saved, that you're a new creation? That you don't get to live the way you did before you knew him? You know, there are people in your life that are waiting to see how you respond to the naysayers, to the people that clap back in your life, to the haters. Can I tell you a testament? In the first year of marriage, we almost divorced an upteenth amount of time. That's real. And if we didn't learn to forgive each other, this church would have never happened. You want to take it a step further? People hated on this church. People said we could never do it. There's pastors, preachers, women of God that said, no, it can't be done. And we had to learn to forgive those people. We had to learn to bless those people. You want to know what forgiveness looks like? Lord, would you bless her as she gossips about me? Would you increase her favor? Would you give her success more than I have? Would you let her preach a stronger message than I have today? Because I'm secure in my identity in Christ, and your success is not going to beat me down. Lord, would you allow this person that I'm training today to surpass me? Would you increase that church? Why are they at 100, God? Let them be to 500. Because God has called me, and what God has for me is different than what God has for you. Can we be real this morning? Can we get up and stand up for a God who has set us free? Because we don't have to stay like we don't know him. Would you, for God's sakes, would you forgive somebody today? Would you bless them? for his sake, for the person, the empty seat that's next to you that you're praying for, that cousin you're praying for, the ex you're praying for, the boss that you're praying for. You want them to come to Christ? Forgive the people in your life. Let the enemy go from your life. Did you know that you are the salt of the earth? Did you know that you are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone? Did you know that you are a city on a hill? So then why do we act like we're not, right? You are secure. You have an identity in Christ that is set before the foundations of the earth was created. And you are a new creation in Christ. And those of us who are a new creation in Christ, we need to live differently. What does it look like to have thriving communities that are praising the Lord and forgiving? Let's be radical. Let's let 2019 be the year of freedom at Center Set Church. Let's have communities. Let's have life groups that are thriving, that are intentional, that get in your face with kindness and gentleness to call you out and to show you that you're on a mission, that you don't need to be stuck in the trap, that you are better than that, right? That you are called, that you are a city on a hill. And if we believe that, we worship a different way. Didn't Ethan say it? Ethan said to raise your hand because you want to touch the Lord who's living. Did you know that the Word of God is active and is living today? Let's touch back. Let's go into a time of worship and let's really praise the God who has set us free.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast for weekly messages. If you'd like to be a part of what we're doing and invest in our community, we'd love for you to give through our app. Text CenterSet app to 77977 for updates and the ability to give online. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.